Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Let me call your attention to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we'll know verses 13 through verse number 15. John 15, we'll note verses 13 through verse number 15. Brother Craig, when you get there, if you would read it for us aloud, please.
Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friend.
The term friend is sometimes used or thrown around loosely nowadays. Sometimes it's used in ways that really diminishes from its true meaning. It appears that when you think about friendship, sometimes people don't really appreciate what a friend truly is. And I think the reason we diminish this idea of friendship or this term of being a friend is because we associate it with so many things. We associate friendship with animals. You know, we have a saying among us that dog is man's best friend, and things of that nature. And then we have, we associate it with inanimate objects. Where we say diamonds are a girl's best friend. So you've heard these kind of statements, and it appears that it takes away a little bit from what friendship is really all about. I even read a statement that said that the best mirror is an old friend. But Jesus in this context referred to his disciples as friends. John 15, 13 through 15. And the Greek word he used is not the word that you would use when you just consider someone a neighbor, but more it is the Greek word philos, and it means one who is a dear friend. It thinks about it in terms of a close, intimate relationship. It means to be actively fond of, friendly. And it is no secret that most, if not all, desire friendship, true friendship. If you can find a friend, you really find someone that sometimes, as the scripture says, will even stick closer than a brother. However, the greatest friend I know is Jesus himself. And when you think about this word friendship, and Jesus is saying to his disciples that you are my friends. And several reasons why he said it. One is because he says, you know, a friend doesn't hold things from a friend. And so Jesus says he revealed all things to you. Now that proves that I'm your friend, because I've told you all things that was revealed to me by my Father. And so therefore I've shared those things with you. In other words, I've kept nothing back from you. In other words, don't you know that Jesus could trust those disciples? He felt like he could trust them, and he manifested that by sharing all things with them. And then he told them, but also for you to be my friend, it's conditional. You do the things that I tell you, and you will also be showing your friendship, because what I have done for you and what I'm going to do for you is that I'm going to sacrifice myself on your behalf. I'm going to die. I'm going to lay down my life to prove to you that you are my friends. But not only that, I'm going to elevate you so that you're no longer servants, but you're friends. You're not slaves, you're friends. So you're on a certain level. And so Jesus manifested his friendship to the disciples, and also told the disciples the way that in which they could manifest their friendship to him. So I want to talk about man's best friend. And I just want to start this, and we'll kind of continue it on maybe on some Sunday afternoons. But I want to start this idea and look at Jesus as man's best friend. And I want to show you several reasons why Jesus is truly man's best friend. One of them is found in John 14, 6, a very familiar passage that shows you just the reason why Jesus is man's best friend. Jesus says in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. That is one reason why we know he is man's best friend. He represents the way man should go. He represents the way to the Father. Only a friend would truly do what Jesus has done. Only a friend would actually come out of heaven and roll himself in flesh and then die for someone. Jesus did that even when we were not so friendly. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, for when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the what? Not for the righteous, but for the ungodly, which means we didn't even have proper respect for the Father. We didn't know how to show reverence for the Father. We were actually hostile enemies toward the Father. We were actually going in the wrong direction. And in that respect, Jesus then died for us when we was in a hopeless, undone situation. And the Bible says that this is a very rare thing. Verse number 7, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16 shows us the love that was manifested toward humanity in that Jesus died for our sins. And so God even sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He represents the very way we should go. That's why he is man's best friend. He is the way by example. Can you find a better example than Jesus the Christ? There is not a better example. So you're talking about a friend that you can depend on to show you the right way every time? Well, that's Jesus. And Peter writes about it in 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And so Jesus is the way by example, but he also is the way by doctrine. He is one who can teach us to go in the right direction. And so he'll never let us down when it comes to the way he's going to show us how we can go toward eternal life, how we can have peace with God. He shows us. In fact, in John chapter 6 and verse number 68, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus is our best friend because he shows us the way even by his doctrine. But not only that, look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and look at verse number 8. He is also the way by his sacrifice. You think about such a friend. Shows us the way by his example. Shows us the way by his doctrine. And shows us the way by his sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 8, the Bible says what? The way into the holiness of all was not made manifest, but there's one who's going to manifest it. There's one who's going to show us the way. Thank God that Jesus is a great friend and he is our high priest that's going to open up the way to heaven. Go ahead and read.
While as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience.
But Jesus will. That's why Peter could say in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience unto God by Jesus Christ. He obviously was the one who was resurrected from the dead. And so Jesus Christ is the one who can give the comers thereunto a clean and perfect conscience. And that's why Paul, even though in Acts chapter 23 and verse number 1 says, brethren, I've lived in all good conscience, even unto this day. But then in Acts 26 and verse number 9, he says, I barely thought with myself that I should do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth. And so here he was living in all good conscience, but his conscience wasn't perfect. And then when his conscience got trained according to the word of God through what Jesus Christ did, now he says he can live a life always to be free and void of a bad conscience. So he could make sure now that his conscience is good because now his conscience is trained according to the word of God. Jesus can make our conscience good and clean and clear. Truly our conscience can be cleared by Jesus Christ because of what he did and because of his being our high priest, because of the blood that was sacrificed on our behalf. He is the way by his spirit. John 16 and verse number 33, howbeit when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus was even showing himself to be a friend by sending the spirit, which will guide men into all the truth and righteousness. He is truly our friend because he is the way. But not only that, he says, I am the truth. He has the truth that frees us. John chapter 8 and verse number 32, Jesus frees us by his truth. He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus is the way by truth because he bears witness to the truth. Look at the conversation that's taking place between Jesus and Pilate in John chapter 18. And notice verse number 37 when we get there. Pilate asked Jesus a question. He asked him, art thou a king then? And how did Jesus answer? That I should bear witness unto the truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. He is truth personified. Truth comes from him. He brought truth. In fact, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, I am the truth. My friends, listen, wouldn't you like to have a friend that you knew was going to always tell you the truth? Now, you're saying yes, and I believe you. I believe you. But not everyone can appreciate a friend who will always tell them the truth. But if we know what's good for us, we will always want a friend. I mean, wouldn't it be good to have someone that knows you intimately as well as you know yourself or as well as you think you know yourself, that know you even better than yourself, that will tell you the truth on every occasion? Because you would need to hear it. Now, we probably would get upset at times when a person tells us the truth. Because that means sometimes it might be my fault. It may mean sometimes I need to back up. It may mean sometimes I need to make the adjustment. It may mean sometimes it's not somebody else's fault, it's your fault. It may mean sometimes you're the one created that mess. And so the person that's going to tell you the truth no matter what, my friends, wouldn't that be a great friend? Because that person is ultimately for your good. And Jesus is a friend that's going to tell you the truth because he said, I am in this world to bear witness to the truth. Read, if you will.
Everyone that is of the truth,
hear my voice. Now, let me help you appreciate what that means, because everybody's not coming to Christ. Everyone cannot obey the gospel. Everyone will not obey the gospel. There's more that's going to lose than more that's going to win. And why is the reason? Because everyone don't have a disposition favorable to truth. Some people don't like truth. Some people don't love truth. Some people don't want a whole lot to do with truth. Some people would rather you lie to them, prophesy to them smooth things, tell them deceitful things. That's the way some people are. We don't understand it, and maybe we can't appreciate it, those of us who have a disposition favorable to truth. But Jesus says, everyone who is what? Of truth cometh where? Cometh unto me. Why? Because if you don't have a disposition favorable to truth, why would you go toward truth? Read your Old Testament. People who didn't have dispositions favorable to truth did not go toward God's prophets. They went away from God's prophets. They persecuted God's prophets. They killed God's prophets. They put God's prophets in the prison. They threw Jeremiah in a hole. They threw Micaiah in a hole and in a prison. And then Ahab said, feed him with the bread of affliction. With the bread and water of affliction. They mocked Elijah. Oh, bald head man. Oh, bald head man. And God sent a little reminder that you ought to be careful about how you speak about God's prophets and killed them. Them children was having some fun at Elijah's expense, but they lost their lives in doing so. Everybody don't want truth. Everybody, as the old the stain in the movie, You Can't Handle the Truth. I think it was called A Few Good Men. And he says, you want the truth? I want the truth. He said, you can't handle the truth. And that's exactly right. Some folks can't handle the truth. Jesus says, everyone that is of truth will come unto me. And so, my friends, let me tell you, Jesus came here to bear witness to the truth. And if you, my friends, want to be a friend of Jesus, you need to have a disposition favorable to truth. And that individual will find Christ and will find his truth. So think about Pilate here questioning Jesus. He's got Jesus on trial because he believes there's going to be an insurrection. He believes that somebody is coming that's going to try to take over Caesar. He believes it's going to be a physical war. But Jesus is saying, I didn't come here to create and start a war. See, that's the way you move men. That's the way you get men to do what you want them to do. That's the way you bring men under your thumb, if you will, and then you put them to tribute and you overcome them, and then you put them in servitude and slavery, and then you determine what they're going to do because you forced them to do it. Jesus said, that's not the way I'm coming. He said, see, I don't exercise dominion in those ways. I exercise dominion by means of the truth. I am going to be able to bring men to me and under my care, under my control, and under my influence, not by means of war, but by means of truth. I'm going to be able to restrain the wicked. You have to restrain them because you throw them in prison. I'm going to restrain the wicked with truth. I'm going to convince the sinner, but I'm not going to convince him against his will. I'm not going to imprison him and convince him that he needs to follow me. I'm going to convince him with truth. I'm going to convert the heart. I'm going to convert a person from the inside out. I'm going to change them internally. And how am I going to do it? I'm not going to put anything to their head. I'm not going to hold anything over them. I'm going to convert that heart through truth. I'm going to sanctify the soul. I'm going to sanctify the soul. But how am I going to do it? Not the way you would do it. There's only one way you would understand how to bring a person under your control. But I'm going to bring them under my control by truth. I'm going to sanctify the soul. I'm going to guide them. How am I going to guide them? By truth. I'm going to lead them. How am I going to lead them? By truth. All I'm going to do is I'm going to apply truth to the minds of individuals, and therefore I'm going to exercise dominion over them, and I'm going to restrain them. I'm going to convince them. I'm going to convert them, and they're going to comply. Why? Because I'm going to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who has a disposition toward truth is going to find me and come under my control. And that's why we're all here. And none of us feel like Jesus had to violate us in order to get us here. He was trying to explain that to Pilate. But see, carnal people couldn't understand spiritual things and spiritual truth. So that didn't make no sense to Pilate. He only knew one way. We got to go out and conquer them. We've got to go out and put them under our thumb. We got to persecute them. We got to bring them into prisons and all these kind of stuff. And then Jesus said, no, that's not the way I'm going to do it. So you don't have to worry about some insurrection. Jesus said, I bore witness, came to bear witness of the truth of God's love to sinning man by the cross that he'll endure. Jesus bore witness to the truth of being the Son of God when he rose from the dead. And he witnessed to the truth of his perfection when he lived a spotless and sinless life. For he did no sin, 1 Peter 1:22. Neither was guile nor deceit found in his mouth. No deceit in his mouth, because he is truth. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:15. And that allows us, verse 16, to come to the throne of grace boldly to find grace and mercy to help in time of need, because Jesus is the truth. What a friend that will tell you the truth. No matter what it costs you, he'll just simply tell you the truth. Jesus truly is man's best friend. But he is man's best friend because he says, I am the life. That means he is the life that is the light of men. John 1 and verse number 3 and verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the wellspring from which comes every form of life. My friend, Jesus is life, and the life that he is has brought light unto us about every form of life. He is the life, and therefore has given us physical life. He is the life and given us spiritual life. He's given us intellectual life. He's given us moral life. He's given us eternal life. Because of him, we have light on every form of life there is. And it all, my friends, has its existence based on Jesus Christ. He is the eternal life and the resurrection, John 11 and verse number 25. And he is the life that leads to the abundant life. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, super abounding in life because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, is dog man's best friend? Ladies, is diamonds a girl's best friend? Which one of y'all say yeah? I didn't even hear anybody say yes. I just wanted to make sure. You see, we can diminish what friendship truly is. But it's not until you really think about friendship in terms of Jesus and the fact that God would get off his throne in heaven and to come down in this place among sinners, among those who are ungodly and those who are undeserving of his love, and to actually say, I'm your friend, and to elevate us in that fashion, and then to say, I proved it. I gave my life for you, and greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
And you are my friends. Now, what's your part? If you do whatsoever I command you. So because of what he did, we honor him in what we do, and we show ourselves to be friends of Christ.
Yes.
So isn't it good to be able to say that we have Jesus for a friend?
Amen.
The person who has shown us everything that we need pertaining to this life. The one who shows us the way. In every way, he is our example.
Yes.
The one that shows us and embodies truth. Don't have to worry about being deceived by him. That what he says, I can bank on it.
Amen.
All the way to the end of my life, I can follow his truth right to the end.
Yes.
And the one who says that he is not only the way, the life, but he also, or rather he is the truth, he is the way, he is the life. And he's shown us the way of life. He's shown us the light of life. He's shown us the Father. And that is the way to the Father. He says it's through him. There's only one way. So if you want to get to the Father, you got to come through Jesus Christ. He's the best friend we can ever have because he is the only one that can reconcile us to Father and then continue to keep us there through his mediatorship. If you want to be with him and you want to honor him, then do that by obeying him, believing in him to be the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing him with the mouth unto salvation, and then submitting to baptism so that you can be a part of his body where he is the head. Follow his direction, my friends. It'll lead you right to heaven. Because not only is he the example, he's also given us the steps that we should follow. So walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and you'll walk right on into heaven when this life is over. You need to respond to this invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Well said.